Welcome to What the Bible Says, a Lugnuts Podcast Group production. Well, good morning, good evening, guten Abend, guten Morgen, and guten Tag. Whenever you're listening to this podcast, welcome. So this is going to be a little bit different of a topic today. We're going to take a break from the series that we're going through. The current series that we're on, we're going through depression. It's Pastor Steve and I. Pastor Steve is not here this week, so it's just me. But we still got a podcast. We still got an episode, so don't worry about it. Regular scheduled programming next week, I believe. As far as I know, regular scheduled programming next week. If not, then you get me again. Oh, well. This current series that Pastor Steve and I are going through is the Looking Up from Stubborn Darkness. It's a book on depression from Edward T. Welch. We're currently going through that one. So look forward to that one. Hopefully, again, we'll pick it up again next week. But this week, I'm here, and this episode really goes really, really deep. This one, it covers a tragic and very recent topic, and it's the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but at a more broader of a topic. We're going to cover Charlie Kirk in this one. And I'm going to preface this by, if you don't want to listen to this, then don't listen to it. If you weren't a fan of Charlie Kirk and you're one of those people, I'm not saying you are and I'm not saying you're not, but if you were one of those people that were poking fun at Charlie Kirk, then don't listen to this, because this is not the podcast for you. This is not the episode for you. We're not doing that here. Personally, I was a big fan of Charlie Kirk, wanted to meet him in person at some point, but with what happened, I'm going to meet him, but it wasn't the way that I wanted to meet him. I guess I wanted to meet him in person, talk with him, and stuff like that. But I'm going to be able to do that. But I just got to wait a little bit longer. But it's going to be worth it when I meet him for the first time, because we're all going to be in the presence of the Lord, and it's just going to be a great time. But for this one, it's the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but overarching more broadly, the killing of a public figure. How should Christians respond? What guidance do we also find in scripture about violence, justice, mourning, forgiveness, and God's overall sovereignty? So let's just jump right in. We got some stuff to cover here. So I really found solace in Isaiah 6:8. And that's kind of the that's going to be the first scripture that we look at. And it's kind of going to be the starting point of everything. This verse really kind of like is the calling of all Christians. And Isaiah 6:8, that says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom will I send? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" That "I am" there is Isaiah talking, is responding to the Lord. So here's part one of this, and it's God's call in the midst of tragedy. And so even in the most, amidst the horrible tragedy, Isaiah's vision reminds us that God calls his people to respond. "Whom will I send? Here I am, send me." And with that in mind, we as Christians, we are called to first stand, to be present, to lament, and to comfort those who suffer and who suffer with us. Because just because we are Christians doesn't mean that we're not going to go through suffering, through trials, through tribulations. Our hope, where we find our comfort is knowing that Jesus Christ is there for us. God is there with us, and he's not going to give us anything that we can't handle. Then, after, we're called to speak words of truth, justice, and the gospel to everyone. And then finally, to serve. And that's to act with compassion, care, and faithfulness in a broken world. And trust me, as you've seen this week, the world is broken and needs and is in need of a savior. So we go to now justice and mourning. So we're going to consider what scripture teaches about justice, mourning, and the sanctity of life. So we're going to start with Psalm 34:18. And that says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. In a tragedy like an assassination, many are shattered, family, friends, community. However, we need to remember that God is near. And that's another verse that I've really kind of held on to this past week. I have been pretty brokenhearted about this. The assassination of Charlie Kirk hit me in a way I didn't think it was going to hit me. I have never been through something like this. This is the first time that I can actually say I have witnessed someone be assassinated and now martyred for what they believe. And it felt and still feels like I had lost a brother that I'd never even met before. On the flip side of that, I know where Charlie Kirk is now, and he is far better off than he was down here. So that also is a relief. And then Psalm 46:1. Now, this one was kind of one of those, like, I don't mean this in like a negative way, but it was almost weird that Psalm 46:1 was shared by Erica Kirk, who is and was Charlie Kirk's wife. She shared this verse that morning. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. When chaos and violence overwhelm us, we cling to God as our source of strength and safety. And that right there should give us hope, because God is always going to be our refuge and strength. He's always going to be there, no matter what. There is nothing we can do to get away from that. He's always going to be there. And then the last verse is Proverbs 6:16-19. And that's the stuff that God hates. He lists several things that he hates. And I'm going to get to that verse here, and I'll read it for you. And it just covers the stuff that God really hates. So the Lord hates six things. In fact, seven are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked, schemes, feet eager to run to evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among brothers. And the part that I kind of want to focus on is the hands that shed innocent blood. This shows the seriousness in which Scripture treats unlawful killing. Murder, especially of the innocent, is among the most grievous wrongs that is listed in there. It's one of the top three. It's right up there. This quote from Charlie Kirk brings the need of the world to have a savior, and the fact that the world is so broken. This quote really encapsulates everything. And that's, I'm going to read it for you. I mean, I'm nothing without Jesus. I am a sinner. I fall incredibly short of the glory of God. We all do. I gave my life to the Lord in fifth grade, and that's the most important decision I ever made. And everything I do incorporates Jesus Christ. And that's literally what Charlie Kirk was about. He was a Christ-first man, and you can tell. I mean, everything he did was for the glory of Christ. Nothing he did was not for the glory of Christ. And the fact that we have someone who was martyred for their faith just shows that this could be, I guess I should say before, the fact that now he was martyred and now there's almost feels like there's a revival that's spreading. Several people the Sunday after the assassination, there were several people who went to church, not just at the church that I attend, but around the country and around the world. Several churches were packed to the brim. Some churches three rows deep with standing room only. Several churches had hundreds and hundreds of people come to the altar to accept Christ. And there were some churches who had several 800 baptisms on that Sunday, which is just incredible. And so this reminds us that hope, the quote from Charlie Kirk reminds us that his hope and identity were not in politics or fame, but in Christ alone. And that's what we have to remember, is if we have Christ as our first identity and our only identity, then nothing else really matters. It doesn't matter how much money we have or whatever. Christ should be our only identity. And then also Matthew 5, 44 and 45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Even wrongs are done. Jesus challenges his followers to not respond in kind, but with love, prayer, and faithfulness. So then now we get to part two. And this one is kind of the harder part of this episode, and that's forgiveness and mercy. An assassination brings up immense rage, grief, and a desire for vengeance. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? And I will say, what the Bible says, have done a three-part series on forgiveness. If you want to check it out, that's in our past series. You can check it out there. It's a three-part series. I highly recommend it. But we're going to cover a brief little section here. So we'll start with Romans 12, 19, that says, "Don't avenge yourselves, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And repay there means avenge. If you go to our church or have listened to Steve before, you know that he kind of makes the joke about the Avengers right there. They're not called the Avengers. They're the Avengers. And that's what God is going to do. He's going to avenge. And that literally is the little caption I have too. We are not to take vengeance. We entrust justice to God. And then Colossians 3:13, "Just as the Lord forgave you, so also forgive others." Forgiveness does not mean denying wrongdoing, but releasing the burden of hatred. And I know there's a lot of people out there right now who are struggling with forgiving, not just with what happened, but just in general. The forgiveness is hard. And you don't think that just because we are supposed to forgive as Christians, we're not supposed to remember the wrongdoing. That's not true. It doesn't take it away. It just releases that burden so that hate doesn't build in a callous heart towards that person or people in general doesn't come in and take effect, because that's not what God wants. So now we'll talk about God's sovereignty and hope. In tragic events, we often wrestle with questions: why? Where is God? Does he see? And scripture speaks to that. First and foremost, with Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not every evil is good, but God can weave even terrible evils into a larger tapestry of redemption. And I think that's what you're going to see with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I think you're going to see God work in ways that we never thought were possible. And I obviously with the, I guess you want to call it, you can call it company or whatever, the program that Charlie Kirk started called Turning Point. You're seeing it now. If you're paying attention to what Turning Point has been doing, or the amount of people that they're getting in, there are, at this point, the last time I saw, 54,000 plus requests for chapters of Turning Point in high schools and colleges, and that's also for people who want to volunteer at different Turning Point areas within their own area too. So 54,000 requests for new chapters or to join a current chapter in their area. It is just unimaginable that 54,000 requests. I've heard this before too. It's hard to imagine 54,000 with Charlie Kirk still alive. I'm not saying that Charlie Kirk had to die in order for those requests to come in, but I think now you're really starting to see people say, wow, I think this is, and this is pun intended, by the way, this is the turning point. This is literally the turning point in this country and the world. Are we just going to sit and do nothing, or are we going to get our hands dirty now and say, you know what? Let's all be our version of Charlie Kirk. Let's pick up where he left off and make our voice and what he was trying to bring even louder to everyone, and that is the gospel. And that's what he was at his core. That is one of the things that he was wanting to do. Now obviously there were some other things that he was getting across too, on the politics end, but in his core, he was trying to get across the message that we all need a savior, and that savior is Jesus Christ, and we just need to accept him and believe in him and put our faith in him so that we can enjoy and we can be with him forever in heaven. So a little caption about Romans 8:28. Not every evil is good, but God can weave in terrible evils into a larger tapestry of redemption. And then a little quote from Charlie Kirk, again, Jesus defeated death so you can live. And that is the core of Christian hope right there. Death, no matter how sudden or violent, does not have the final word for those who belong to Christ. And if you're not saying amen right there, that is an amen statement right there. It doesn't matter when you go, how you go, or where you go. If you have your hope in Christ, it doesn't matter. You know where you're going. Everyone else will know where you're going. It's going to hurt because you're gone, but you're going to be far better off than you ever were here on earth. And then Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning, crying, pain will be no more, for the previous things have passed away. This is the ultimate promise of God, not just comfort now, but eternal restoration in Christ. So now part three is our response as Christians. So given all this, how should we respond if such event occurs? And it already has occurred. So mourn deeply. Grief is honest with God. Lament is biblical. Seek truth and justice. That's legally, morally, and ethically. Pray. That is the most important thing. Pray. For the victim, for the family involved, for those responsible, and for societal healing. Love and forgiveness, not condoning evil and refusing to be overcome by hatred. And then minister hope, reminding one another that we of the hope we have in Christ, that death does not have to be the final word. So I want to wrap up with just a couple application points here and some questions for you to kind of ponder, reflect on, and just think about on your own. So when you hear about such a tragic event, what is your immediate spiritual response? Anger, fear, grief? How can you move forward toward a God-honoring response? Question two, who in your life needs your comfort or your prayer in the aftermath of violence? Question three, how do you balance seeking justice with pursuing forgiveness? Four, and the fourth and the final one, how can you allow God's call, "Here I am, send me," to shape your response in real, tangible ways? So I just want to wrap up this with a prayer for everybody. One, just to wrap us up here. So, Father, we come to you in sorrow for what such violence reveals about the brokenness in our world. We mourn the innocent blood being shed, not only just for Charlie Kirk, but everything that's gone on this past week, what else all has happened in this world. God, we pray comfort for Erica, for the kids, for Charlie's family, and for all those who are suffering and going through this time of grief, hardship, with this tragedy. Lord, bring your peace that surpasses understanding. We pray for justice to be done, for forgiveness where repentance comes. Lord, your word reminds us the hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but revealed things belong to us and our children forever. We don't, Lord, always understand why such tragedies happen. But God, we trust you that you are sovereign and you have given us what we need to walk faithfully before you. Help us, Lord, not to turn to hate, but turn to love. Even this worst of events, to draw people to you. Lord, help us this day to go forward, spread your love, spread your truth, and spread the gospel to those who need to hear it. Give us strength to go about the rest of our week. And in your name, Jesus, amen. So thank you for joining this episode of What the Bible Says. Again, tune in next week, hopefully for regular scheduled programming, going back into looking up from the stubborn darkness from Edward T. Welch. Pastor Steve and I should be back on that next week. If not, then I'll figure something out. Don't worry, I'll be here anyway, so you're not gonna have to worry about that. If you've been blessed or challenged by this episode, please share it. Until next time, may we hear God's voice. Whom will I send? And be ready to say, here I am, send me. So we'll see you next week. Again, I just want to keep making it clear that hopefully next week, regular scheduled programming back into the book from Edward T. Welch, back onto the Depression series next week. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, visit our website for more information and shows at thelugnutspodcastgroup.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll see you next week.